Well, this morning we'll take our Bibles and open to 1 Chronicles. So we're back in the Old Testament, chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. Just a real quick introduction to a man. So we're going to meet him that we don't know anything about him really except that he prayed a prayer. And that prayer caused God to take note of him. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Let's look at his prayer first here in the passage, and then we'll go from there. It says in verse 9, and by the way, this guy's name was Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And I'm glad that he added these last few words, "And God granted his request." Now, as we study his prayer, we understand that he is a man of God. He devoted himself to God. Jewish writers from tradition say that he was an eminent doctor in the law, and that he was a teacher of many of the scribes and others who really had a desire to learn about what God said in his word. Now, there's a number of things here really interesting that we'll look at, then we're going to go to his prayer. The first thing is he's more honorable. Wow! God looked at this man and goes, "He stands out to me. He's different. He's unique. He's more honorable than his brothers." Now, I don't know how many brothers he had. I don't know how many sisters he had. Maybe God had in mind here that not just his family members, his blood relatives, but as he looked down on Jabez's town, he stood out. Or maybe he stood out because he was one of those people from Israel that heart was given to God even more than anybody else. But he was noticed and complimented by God. I think that's so cool. Don't you want to be noticed and complimented by God? What would that be like? So here's Abraham, and God says of him, "He walked with me." And here's David. He said, "David, he's a man after my own heart." And of Enoch, he said, "He pleases me." Now, those three are not exceptions. They're going to be the rule because 1 Corinthians 4 tells us that someday I'll be praised. Each man will have his own praise. Each woman will have their own praise from God. And so God's going to look at our lives and he's going to say, "Good job here, good job here." And he's going to notice us as well. Now, our praises might be, or our praise, what he's giving to us, may be centered in our new names. You know, Revelation 2:17 says we're going to get new names. Fred won't be Fred anymore. I don't know what Fred's name will be, but it'll be a special name because God named, and Brad and John and everybody. Maybe it'll be kind of like in Pilgrim's Progress. Have you read that book? All the people in that book that belonged to God had a special name. There was Christian. And there was Faithful because he was faithful. And another one was Truthful. And another was Evangelist because he was an evangelist. And so when they heard their names called, it was God reminding them, "This is what I noticed about you." So maybe our praise is centered in our works. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we want to hear God say that to us someday. You know, God has always taken a real personal interest in his servants. I love that as we go through the scripture. You can really see this clearly. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, God begins to develop the genealogy lines of individuals. And in verse 17, we have, and just let me point out the pattern, not so much every word here. Cain got his wife pregnant, gave birth to Enoch. And then in verse 18, Enoch was born Irad. Irad was the father of Mahujal. Mahujal was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the father of Lamech. And Lamech did this, and he wasn't much of a nice guy. But you notice how quickly God just goes, bam, 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 right through this line. It's like these wicked people, their lives aren't going to matter anything. Their eternities, they're not here to do anything. And so they really weren't very good men, and God's kind of pointing that out. But you know, when we get into chapter 5, now we have the godly line that it starts off with Adam. Verse 3 says, Adam lived 130 years. He had a son in his own likeness, his own image, and he named him Seth. And after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years, had other sons and daughters, and altogether he lived 930 years, and then he died. And if you look at the pattern here, here in verse 6, Seth lives 105 years, becomes the father of Enosh, and then he lives another 807 years and has other sons and daughters. Altogether he lived 912. And that pattern goes through all through right down to the end of the chapter. As God, it's like God is saying, you know, these people are important. They did something with their lives. They were born. They had children. They did something in their families, and they brought their children to me, and they grew them, and they taught them, and their whole life was meaningful and productive. He really takes note of his kids, the righteous. You know, I think God loves to use names. And the one that blows me away is Psalm 147. And again in Isaiah 40, you know, God has named the stars. I mean, you go Twinkie, Winkie, Blinky. How many more can you come up with? I mean, that there are billions and billions of galaxies, and every one of those galaxies has billions and billions of stars. And yet, we would number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. And I'm sure that's what NASA has pretty much done, those astronomers that study the stars. But God's named them all. He has a personal name. God loves names. And so that's what he's done here. In Matthew 25, we read the name of the wicked. He just calls them, "You cursed." But you look on the other hand, Satan just uses numbers. And that's what he does in the tribulation time. He just starts numbering the human family. He doesn't care. He doesn't care you have a name or whether you don't have a name. That's not important to him. But to God, you're important. He knows your name. He's got a new one all picked out for you. It's going to be reflective of who you are and what you became as the Holy Spirit worked in and through you. That's pretty powerful stuff. Now, why was he more honorable? Well, I think the passage is the testimony here is that he called out to God. He called out to God. He cried out to the God of Israel, verse 10 there. It's his prayer. It was his heart's desire. He demonstrates a dependence upon God. Now, some might think that's, why would you want to demonstrate dependence upon God? That's a sign of weakness. But God doesn't view it that way, not at all. God thinks it's honorable. So would God call me honorable because I reach out to him? He was honorable in God's eyes. Now, another thing about him, he was he evidently had a difficult beginning to life, and if he didn't, his mom did. His mom did, because you notice what the meaning of Jabez? His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. If you look at your footnotes, it probably has a little note down there that says, Jabez sounds like the word for pain. Can you imagine every time your mother calls you, hey, Jabez, time to come in for supper? You're being reminded of the pain you caused your mom at birth. It's hard to believe a parent would do that, but that's the way he started off. You know, I'm glad my mother didn't name me Torment Lemon. That might have been hard to take. Or Agony Shoemake, or Misery Kuhn, or Distress Treckler, or any of those, you know. The name was important in that culture. But it would always remind you of what you had caused your mom. So maybe he felt like he was starting off in a hole. So it looks like life started badly for Jabez, but God turned it around. And it turned around because he prayed. And you know, our beginnings may not have been the best, and sometimes they're not. We don't start life off very well. But the ending is far more important, and I have a say in that. I don't have to spend all my life blaming my parents for what I am, for my circumstances or liabilities, but God never intended for our beginnings to ruin us. That's just the starting point. And I can turn to God to work out a glorious future. You know, we all start off in the pain of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. But we can all move into 2 Corinthians 5:17. So in Christ, everybody's a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. And I can step into that in a wonderful, blessed way. Because see, my God's in a changing business. He can change people's lives. The old radio broadcast used to say, he unshackles us. How many of you ever heard of that program, Unshackled? Ooh, boy, we're going to have to, couple, maybe three. But it was the stories from Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago where people that were drug addicts, in alcohol, lost, would come and God would change their lives because somebody told them about Jesus. So their lives were unshackled. You could probably find that online. You need to go look it up on YouTube. There's, I don't know, 50 years of weekly programs out there. It'll bless your heart. I think they're still on radio, but I'm sure you can get them online as well. So we all start off that way, but God wants to change us and make us new and make us different and bless us and give us an ending that's so much better than the beginning. I like it, too, that he cried out to God. This is not Jabez saying, oh, I started off in the hole, but I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, and I'm going forward, and I'm going to win this, and I'm going to gain this stuff for myself. No. He calls out to God. He says, and we're going to see what he says in a moment, but basically he says, God, I need you. Please help me. That's a great place to start. He cried out to the God of Israel. You can tell a lot about a person by the object of his prayers. Who is he praying to? Well, Jabez is praying to the God of Israel, the God who has proven reliability. And God had already answered his people's prayer and demonstrated his power. So here's that's his prayer, his incredible prayer. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. As I was thinking my way through this, I'm asking myself the question, was this a one-time prayer or was this like a continual outpouring of his heart? And, you know, I think it was a continual thing. God, I need you. I want you. I want your blessing. And everything that's wrapped up in this prayer, I think it was a continual prayer. God, you know what I really want. And I'm asking you for this. And I think he kept bringing it back to the Lord over and over and over again. Then the second question that was really in my mind as I was studying this is this a selfish prayer? Look what he says here. Bless me, enlarge my territory, give me strength, keep me from harm and pain. Me. Bless me, me. Is it a selfish prayer? And I know the answer to that one. I'll let you in on it. You know, according to James chapter 4, verse 3, if they're selfish prayers, God doesn't answer them. But what's it say there at the end of verse 10? And God granted his request. So God looked at his prayer and said, this is not selfish. What you're asking is something good. It's in line with my will. And so I'm going to give it to you. And that's what he did. God granted his request. So as we're looking at this prayer, I want you to realize he's asking for spiritual wealth. This is not, we tend to put it maybe in the realm of physical. You know, bless me. I want this, 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 and this. We're like we're bringing our Christmas list to God of the physical junk we want. But I think that in just how this is developing, he's saying, God, this is what I want spiritually. This is what I need to get from you because I can't get it myself. And so that's how we're going to look at it here this morning. We'll not get done today. We'll put this into next week as well. So what is the, let's see here. What did he ask for? Well, let's put it under this category, enrichment. Enrich me, God. See the first one there? Oh, that you would bless me. God, I want to be blessed by you. I want you to favor me. I want you to smile for me and on me. And I want you to be for me. Now, why would somebody ask for that? Well, I think that there's a number of verses that might give us the answer to that. First one we look at is Psalm 127, verse 1. And the psalmist understood this too, because he says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. And so Jabez is going, look, if I don't have God's blessing on my life, I'm going nowhere. I'm going to be like a vehicle stuck in the mud. I'm just going to keep spinning. I'm not going to have anything. But if God will bless me, he will prosper me. I will have what I need and what I want from him. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Lord, I don't want to build my life in vain, so bless me. I want your hand in my life. And then maybe Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, a verse that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, you will succeed because of my spirit. And Jabez is going, yep, that's right. It's not me. It's not my might. It's not my power. It's not my strength. It's not my ability. But if something's going to happen, it's going to be because God's Holy Spirit did it in and through me. And what a powerful thing. And Jesus then in John 15, verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, I'm like the branch or the vine, and you're the branches, and you better keep a connection to me, because otherwise nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Are we aware that nothing we do will have lasting value and success unless God's in it? And it's not that I'm coming up with something I want to do and say, okay, God, bring your blessing shaker and bless me right here. Pour it out on me. He's saying, God, I want your blessing. What you want for me, I want for me. So what kind of blessing was Jabez wanting? And, you know, the scripture is not specific on that, but let me make some maybe educated guesses. I think he's asking for spiritual growth. He's asking for God's presence, and we're going to see that as we look at the other things he asked for. He's going to be asking for protection from sin, and all of those requests had a spiritual backing to them. I want something in the spiritual realm. All of his requests, I believe, have a spiritual orientation. So, you know, so many times our prayer lists, we have all these physical things. This is what I need. This is what I want. It's physical, 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 physical. But God says, I want you to step across and have a list of spiritual things, spiritual needs and spiritual goals and desires and blessings that you want from me. And so, you know, we pray about physical health. What about spiritual health? Do we pray for both? If we divided our praying between the physical and the spiritual, the temporal and the eternal, how much would be in each category? You know, we pray about needs and problems and desires and success and so many other things in the physical realm. What are we praying for in the spiritual realm? Father, save people. This person's in my life and they need to hear the gospel. Give me the chance to share with them. Please make them receptive as I get the chance to share with them. How can I have God's blessing operating in my life? One of the things as I was thinking through this really kind of blew me away. There were very few people in the Bible who said, God bless me. Jabez is one of them right here. Back in Genesis 32, we have Jacob wrestling with probably the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jacob's headed back home and he's in trouble. And always before, he could take care of himself. But this time, he knows he's in big Huey. So he also seems to recognize the person he's wrestling with has great authority over him and his life. And so he grabs this guy, and I think it was the Lord Jesus, and they're wrestling all night long. And the Lord says, you know, let me go. I need to be going. And he goes, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, those were unheard of words out of Jacob's mouth. Because it was usually Jacob going, you know, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to deceive you until I get it out of you. I mean, it was all dependent on Jacob and what he did. But here we have Jacob saying, God, I want your blessing. David later in Psalm 67, verse 1, says basically the same thing. God, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me. As far as I can tell, that's the list of people in the Bible that ask for blessing. But God saw Jabez's prayer and thought it was a pretty good prayer. So maybe we need to do more. God bless me. God bless me. Whatever you want for my life. It seems like most just live godly lives and God blesses them as a result. You know, he says to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8, get your head in the book of the law and meditate it on a day and night and you'll be successful in what you do. You'll have my blessing. And a lot of people live that way. That's good. 2 Timothy 3 says all scripture is profitable. And if I'm in the scripture, it'll teach me and train me and make me. And that's good too. But we ought to ask for it, don't you think? We ought to say, God, I need your blessing. I realize it's not all on me. I need you. I need you. I need you. So, enrichment. Favor me, God. Smile on me. Help me. Dependence upon him. But there's something else, and look at the second thing he talked about not only enrichment, but enlargement. This is interesting, I think. Oh, that you would bless me, there's enrichment, and enlarge my territory. God, I'm tired of living on this half-acre lot. I want a mansion spread out on acres. No, that's not where he's going. That would have been a selfish prayer, and that's not what's happening here. His request is not about more stuff. God, I want more stuff to cram into my garage, into my shed, into my basement. No. Lord, he's not saying I want a bigger house, I want a bigger bank account. He's saying, because those are all selfish. God wouldn't answer those. He's saying, I want to grow. Spiritually, I want to grow. I want to become more. I want to be spiritually mature. I want to live my life in relation to what you're doing. Show me how to live life in order to grow the most. Teach me character. Teach me godliness. And the more I think about the prayer, that seems to be where he's going. Grow me, Lord. Grow me. Enlarge me. Make me think. Change my way of life. Change the way I look at life. Help me to see life from your perspective. I'd like to make that as clear as I can. You know, what's the difference between a child and an adult? You know, in many ways, we're the same composition. Children have blood and flesh and bones and hair, at least from a certain point on. And adults have the same thing, blood, flesh, bones, and hair. We have the same form. Both adults and babies have head and arms and legs and eyes. We go through the same processes. We eat, we sleep, we drink, and so on. What is different between an adult and a child? It's the level of maturity. And here I feel that Abez is just going, Lord, I don't want to be a baby anymore. I want to grow up. I want to mature. I want to be different. I want to be an adult spiritually. And you know, unfortunately, being a baby is not related to age. And you already know this. People of all ages can throw temper tantrums. They want to be the center of the world. They can avoid responsibility. And it's the same in the Christian life. Just because we've been Christians for 40 years doesn't make us any more mature than sometimes very young Christians. And sometimes Christians who have been saved 6 months are more spiritually mature than adults who have been saved a lot, lot longer. And I guess we need to be saying, God, make me mature. So what's the difference? If we're saying, okay, Lord, make me mature, help me to grow up. Well, let's kind of look at what that means or would mean in our lives. In our orientation, let's think about what babies orient to versus what adults orient to. You know, babies generally are concerned with the close, glittering things. You know, we lay them down in the crib and they have the mobiles that are going around. Those things splash and dizzle and dazzle and they you know, the baby's like, wow, it's a great world I just stepped into. Look at all the colors. But after a while, that's not good enough, and they're standing up at the side of the crib going, hey, what's out there on the other side of these jail bars? And before long, they're looking out the window, and they're, but as little kids, they don't do that. They don't have a long-term perspective. I think I probably told you this before. I as a kid, I didn't have a very long perspective on things and how to relate to things and so on. And one time I was either 4 or 5 years old. I don't know where the police were, my mother, but I decided to get up into the medicine cabinet, but I didn't know it was a medicine cabinet. But I crawled up there and I looked, there was a chocolate bar up there. Some of you know where I'm going with this. I thought, this is wonderful. And being the very generous brother I was, I had two younger ones, and the youngest was too small for all this. But I said, I'm going to share it with them. Boy, did we keep that bathroom hopping for like 2 days. It was some kind of a laxative. It tasted really good, but wow. But, you know, as a kid of that age, I couldn't see that this is something I should stay out of. I don't remember if they padlocked that thing after that or not, but I'm sure they did. Couldn't tell. There was another time, I think, I was a dangerous little kid sometimes. There was one morning, I think my brother was homesick. I was probably mad at him for being homesick. But I got on the bus and took off to school. And, you know, it was down Church Road and then up, I think it was 57 into Orville at that time. And we got to the junior high downtown, this little town of Orville. And I'm going, oh, man, I don't feel good. I don't want to tell anybody. I think I'm just going to get off and walk home. And so I did. And I get out. I'm walking down the ditch of this pretty good-sized road. And it was probably 3 miles. And I finally got home, and I walked up the door. I knocked on the door, and my mother opened. She's not happy to see me. But, you know, there was a lot of danger on that walk. But did I know that? Let's see. I would have been about fourth grade. Kids just don't get it. They don't see very far. They don't understand things. Where adults, you can look toward that, and there's a patience. There's an understanding of what's dangerous and what is not. And so spiritual babies are like that too. They live in the present. It's what's here and now. They're not looking ahead. Spiritual babies want earthly things, and they can't see the treasures that God's, hey, what about this? Nah, I'm not interested in that. I want this. It sparkles right here. Spiritual adults are willing to be disciplined now and enjoy later. They're excited about the spiritual world. And Jabez is saying, God, I want to be one of those spiritual adults. I want to be an adult. You know, babies are different in their actions, too. Physically, you can't tell a baby whether it's coming from a civilized or an uncivilized family, because babies are babies and they do what babies do. And it doesn't matter how civilized you are, it's still going to happen that way. The same way, but as you begin to grow, you begin to see, hey, this person's different, and they're culturally adapting and so on. You know, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Spiritual babies, 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul talks about baby Christians there. He says, you're jealous. You're filled with jealousy and quarreling, and you're not getting along. And you flip over to Galatians 5:20, and you find out those are exactly the same things that are wicked, that's what comes out of the sin nature. So you can't tell a spiritually immature baby from somebody of this world. They act the same way. But yet, by the time we get to Galatians 5, now you have somebody that's growing up in spiritual things, and they have the fruit of the Spirit. So it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. And you can tell that they belong to a different kind of a family. Babies are very impressionable. You can sway them any direction. You can tell them what to believe, and they'll go and do that. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, be an adult. Don't do that. Get nailed down. Know what you believe, what you think, and so on. Babies and adults eat different types of food, milk versus solid food. So there's a huge difference. And children grow best in a black and white environment, I think. That's their relationship to the law. Adults live in a system of freedom where they have to pick and choose. This is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live. So we have to find out what pleases the Lord. And Jabez is going, God, I really, you know, I want you to enlarge me. I want to mature. I want to become the person you want me to be. I don't want to think like a baby anymore. I don't want to be a spiritual nobody, you know, incomprehensible, doing the wrong things and so on. I want to see. I want to be visionary. I want God to be a part of my life and my thinking, and I want to live for eternity and all of that. And that's why God was so pleased with his prayer. Are we asking God to help us grow? What are we? Are we a baby, a spiritual baby? Are we a spiritual adult? Maybe we ought to be praying, God, make me mature. Help me to mature. Bring the things into my life to help me to grow up. And God does that. That's the goal for all of us. You know, Jesus, it says there in Luke 2:52 that he grew in wisdom. That was mental. He's thinking things through, and he grew in wisdom. And then he grew in stature, and most of us should probably stop there. We've probably gone far enough there. He grew in favor with God, so he's learning to walk with God, talk with God, spiritual favor. And then he also grew with man, socially. He's getting along with people in his world. He knows how to talk and discuss. And that's what we ought to be asking God to do. Help me, Lord. Grow me, mature me, enlarge me. So are we daily seeking God's blessing on our lives? Are we living in such a way that we can become God's person? Do I really want to grow? Bless me, God. Grow me, God. And then next week we're going to go here. Enable me, God. And then last of all, God, I want to enjoy life from your perspective. And we'll dig into that a little bit. So the question, is it any wonder that God took note of Jabez in his prayer? He noticed it and he answered it. Do you suppose we'll get answers if we pray like this? I think so. Well, let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, I love Jabez's dependence upon prayer and the decided need he had. He felt that he needed God and that he needed God's blessing in his life. And he needed the things that God had in order for his life to be what he should become. So he asked for them. And I pray that we'll do that. I think maybe in that process it'll make us understand and become and grow and mature. And so I'm just grateful that you do hear our prayers and answer them. Father, help us to pray for one another. Help us to pray for one another spiritually, for spiritual need, for spiritual growth, for spiritual blessing. Thank you for this tremendous example we have. Enlarge our prayer vision and teach us how to pray. Father, if there's somebody here without Jesus, I pray that today they might come to know him. He is the only one who stands between each life and death and destruction for eternity. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And if there's a lost person here today, Jesus is trying to find you, come to him. He says, I'm coming as a good shepherd. I want to take care of you and I want to give you life. I want to forgive your sin. Are you willing to step out of your sin and into the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus? Thank you for what you are and what you do in our lives. Bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.